Well, everybody, this is the second episode of my new sort of chapter or season about flying. So as I mentioned, the first one was about acrobatic flying, but the single engine, you know, super light airplane, and it was lots of fun, right? You can pull like up to 8 G's on that thing. Actually, it's certified to go like, up all the way to 10 G's, but I think the pilot, the instructor, and you will pass out. That's not probably a good idea if the airplane doesn't, right, fall apart. But this is not about that. Somewhat related, something I did a few years ago now. I completely forgot to post this, but it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever done, and I'll definitely do it again and again and again. So what I did was, and I was looking for many years, I was looking the safest way to fly in a jet, right? In a fighter jet. So it's been, of course, right? Maybe I'm 52, so maybe, 14, maybe for like 38 years since I watched, Top Gun for the first time, right? Like, oh my God, I gotta do that. Not that easy, right? But I did for a couple of years, honestly, I did a lot of research. The one that top, comes up always top in the Google search, if you'd search for that, is some options. I'm not going to mention sort of company names, of course. That's not the idea here. But there are options like, you can either fly to Russia to fly on a MiG, which would be pretty awesome, by the way. Or you can fly L-39 Albatross jet in the U.S., right? So those are like the typical things that pop up. Different companies offer that. I have my concerns, and I can spare you guys from doing the research that I did. But bottom line is, on the MiG front and sort of the Russian flights and everything, I'll be honest, right? I was never very clear about how those airplanes are being maintained, but more importantly, who is flying them. Right, so I'm like, quite old planes. We're talking about very old planes, right? And that never felt really good. Would I love to do it? Yeah, they have one demo, I remember, off of this edge of Earth, right, where you actually get to the higher level of the atmosphere, not in space, by the way, right? No space, but so much that when you look up, it's kind of darker, right? So like, oh, great. Then you can see probably the curvature off Earth. That's cool. Again, if I could verify and trust who is maintaining that airplane and who is actually flying that, right? As you know, a lot of things can go wrong. They're old airplanes. I always fly here. I rent typically, 1973 Piper Warrior when I'm flying by myself. But I check it, right? I check it myself. I know the FAA certifies that airplane every year. They come and assess it. But I do my pre-flight check myself. And it's a much simpler airplane, right? So that was one of the problems. The other problem then on a domestic basis here, and there is this other jet, which is used for training by the military across the world, right? Is this, I think it's Czech, from Czech Republic. They're not new. They're old, right? They stopped production of those things, those birds, many years ago. It's the L-39 Albatross. Very cool jet, right? We have some private owners in the U.S. that will offer you, a flight. You pay them a couple thousand bucks, and they will, strap you in the front seat, and they'll fly it. Now, again, they're private owners. So while the other options that I found, like, MiG and even some L-39s outside the U.S. were businesses. In the U.S., I don't think there might be an FAA regulation that doesn't allow businesses to do that with jets. I mean, that's my guess. And I think I stumbled upon that during my research. So it's always a private owner, and they own that airplane, right? And they can fly it, and they will charge you money. So it's fine, right? You don't need to be a formal business to do that. And that, again, goes back to the same problem that I had before, right? Yeah, the MiG, the maintenance of that MiG, the maintenance of this L39, you know, typically they're, you know, wealthy folks that bought that jet, right? And how much do they actually know how to fly a jet, how frequently they fly that thing, because it's expensive, right? There's the fuel alone. So again, yeah, never felt good about it. Did, you know, research until I finally, it took me so long, but I found these guys in France, like near Dijon, where the mustard is famous from, near Dijon. They actually are the former Breitling, the watch, you know, the watch company. The Breitling sort of demonstration acrobatic team. So Breitling, the history behind those guys is Breitling used to have this team that would go around the world, right, during air shows and other events, and they came to New York one time, because you can see it online, right, and did a lot of flying internationally, and they were considered like the best, right? It's like not a Blue Angels kind of, you know, I think, but they're awesome, right? And they're flying these L39s, all former military, most of them French. So what happened was Breitling decided to, maybe it wasn't worthwhile to keep those airplanes and the shows, and they decided to cancel the team. The captain, who was the leader of that team, gathered some money, right, and decided to buy, I think, three of those jets, two or three, and offer that and create a business. But it's in France, you see, because then you can do it if it's outside the U.S. So he has a business in the L39s that used to fly for this Breitling, you know, air shows. And again, now we're talking, so it kind of check many of my boxes. I'm talking about, hey, whoever is flying this, do they have experience? Yeah. You look up those resumes, especially this guy, right, who's the owner, and the top, in the top gun, right there. He might be still the best acrobatic, you know, pilot in using jets, of course, right, in the world. So like, okay, he knows what he's doing. It's his business, which is honestly very good, right? And those airplanes used to be part of the show, and if you look at their facilities, you kind of figure out how frequently they're flown, and you can infer the maintenance. Also, it's in France, it's not in Russia. So, right? And I'm saying Russia, but it could be like, I'm Brazilian, so I could say it's not Brazil, right? But it's in France, so all those box checked. Then all I had to do, which was kind of the operations part of the logistics, is, okay, now I need to pay for the flight. Pray that it doesn't rain, because they do not fly under very good conditions, which is, again, a good thing. And then I need to pay in advance, of course, and then figure out when I'm going to fly to France, to Dijon. It's not that close. I rent a car, which is fine, right? And do that. Everything worked out. It was, you know, so it's not a cheap thing, because you got to pay for the tickets. And then as a side note here, my wife said, oh, you're going to France? Yeah, I'm going to France. I'm going to fly this jet. And, oh, I'm coming too. And you're not going to make it. I was planning to do like a 3-day trip. Go in, fly, come out, right? So minimum hotel expenses. And she said, nope, we're staying a week, right? And we're off on this hotel, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And I booked, you know, this restaurant. So the trip became like twice as expensive. But that's, what can you do, right? So it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I remember the weather was not great the day before. Even that morning was a little bit, you know, light showers, and I was like, oh my God, because I didn't have a lot of time. If they reschedule it, right, I flew all the way from New York to France, right, it's not like I can come back next week. So that is the caveat, right? I think that is the biggest risk, to be honest, is that you do all that, and you get there, and then you turn out the conditions are not great, and they cancel your flight, and let's say you're really unlucky, that means you need to come back at some point, right, in the future. So, and that will cost you, you know, much more. But luckily for me, everything worked out. The weather cleared. It was actually very good in the end. The experience is just amazing, right? He will give you the briefing. You get to wear the pressure suit that you're going to see in every movie or every documentary, you know, you see about, you know, jets, which is something, by the way, and I forgot to mention in the other episode about the acrobatic flight in Vegas, you do not, right? You do not wear anything, right? You can go wearing shorts. So when he pulls 6Gs, 7Gs, you will, ages, you will very likely pass out. In this one, because you're wearing the pressure suit, right? At the moment that the sensors hit more than 1G, you hear it starts to inflate, right? And pumps all that blood from your legs and your core back to your brain. So the chances that you're going to pass out are minimum. Plus, right, that airplane is not designed to go much above 6Gs, right? So they will not force beyond that, which again, it's kind of, you know, safe. I mean, most people are not going to pass out or feel bad. So that is one part of the experience that I think it's totally worth mentioning, right? Just wearing that suit, it's just amazing. And then once we get on the plane, I was lucky, right? They have a handful of pilots. The owner showed up, right? And I'm like, oh my God, right? I have the best pilot, you know, in here with me and the owner of the airplanes. So it couldn't be better. We did a 45-minute flight. We did some low-altitude flight, right when you're dodging things. We did some maneuvers like loops and everything. Barrel rows. It's a jet. It's not an acrobatic airplane, so it's not going to shut off the engine and start spinning out of control. But again, the feeling, that's all I have to say, right? It's just, if you watch, you know, any Top Gun movie, and you're like, I wish that, do it. Do it. It's worth it. I've been telling this to all my friends, right? It is unforgettable. Just the feeling, you can see the visibility in that jet is just amazing. It's almost like, you know, it's a 270 degree, you know, visibility all around you down, and it is just so cool. You can communicate with them all the time, right? So if you're feeling sick, which I didn't, I was so excited. It was just, you can tell them, hey, slow down a bit or take it easy, right? I'm not feeling well. It'll stabilize that thing. But again, what an experience. It's still on my bucket list, right? I did it, but it was one of those things that I'm like, okay, how can I do this tomorrow again and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, right? So I'm definitely doing it again. Again, it's not a cheap experience, but if I happen to be in France, you know, at least I'm going to quote unquote save some money flying New York, you know, France. But, I would definitely spend another couple $1,000 doing it before I leave this earth, because it is just so cool, right? That's all I had to say. Again, this one is interesting because I did a lot of research. I summarized everything for you guys. I'm not recommending anyone. I'm not even say their name, but you can easily, quickly Google Dijon, Breitling, Jet, L39, and then you're going to see what I mean. That's all I had to say, guys. I hope you enjoyed this one. And again, do not forget about this episode, because it is... And I don't know how many I've recorded, maybe 30 different things. This is definitely top three, right? So keep that in mind, and it's the way to do it if you wanna do it. Bye for now.